Good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's great to see everybody here today. Glad that you took time to come out and worship Jesus, sing songs praising him, and participate in the prayers. Isn't that good? Does it make you feel good to be here? It should. Put a big smile on your face. Don't come in grumpy. We love you. Where else can you go and hear that every time? We love you. Good to see you. I thank Joe and Sean and Matt for setting the computer up this morning. I'm computer dumb. I try. I've no telling where we'd wind up otherwise. I'm glad you guys are here. I'm glad you got it all set up. Sorry that Travis, Marion, and Noah are under quarantine. I hope they get to feeling better real soon. I will be speaking to you this morning with the King James Version of the Bible. If you'd like to follow along, I like to use a lot of scripture. Let's start off with John chapter 11. This is a familiar story for most of us. John chapter 11, beginning with verse 41. We're going to read 41 and 42. We're going to be in John 11 some more after this. So keep your finger in there. Keep it marked. We're going to bounce around a little bit. John chapter 11, beginning with verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Of course, I hope you recognize that this is the story of Lazarus. Jesus knew that Lazarus was going to die. Lazarus was a friend. Now, Lazarus was a friend of Jesus. And Jesus knew that he was going to die. Now, they came to him and they said, look, Jesus, Lazarus is sick. He's on his deathbed. You got to come now. You can save him. But it wasn't time yet. Everything happens in God's time. You can't rush it. You can't make him go faster. It happens according to his will. In this instance, it happened for a particular reason, to prove Jesus' power. In John chapter 11, I told you we won't be back. John chapter 11, verse 4, says, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. It was planned. It was anticipated. Jesus knew what was going to happen. He knew Lazarus was going to die. There was nothing that he was going to do about it because there was a purpose behind it. Now, if you was Lazarus's friends and family standing around and you knew that Jesus could have healed him and he said, it ain't time yet, what would you have thought? Well, Jesus, come on, let's go. We got no time to spare. Jesus said, no, not yet. Hang on, bear with me. Lazarus' death was to serve a purpose, and that was that of the resurrection. Jesus was going to bring him forth from the dead. Now, I can say a lot of things to you right now. You know, a lot of people worry about death. It's an unknown factor, right? We don't like unknown factors. I don't anyway. I don't know what's going to happen. I know what my Bible tells me. But I'm human. And in the back of my mind, there's things going on there besides what God tells me. God tells me it's just a waiting period. That he's going to come back. He's going to raise me up and take me up to the judgment seat. Now notice I didn't say heaven. Because we ain't got that far yet. We got to go through the judgment. It doesn't matter how good a person you've been. It doesn't matter if you know for sure positive you're going to get into heaven. You still have to stand before the judgment seat. God says, I'm going to come back. I'm going to raise you all up. I'm going to raise the dead in Christ first. The resurrection. Lazarus died so Jesus could raise him from the dead. Go down to verse 11 in chapter 11. It says, these things said he, and after he saith them unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him. Death is spoken of as a sleep. It's not like Rover getting run over out in the road where you're dead all over. It's a waiting place. We're waiting for Jesus to come back and raise us from the dead. The resurrection. We're not really going to die. We're just waiting for Jesus to come back. Now, he may come back before we die. I don't know. Bible doesn't tell me when he's going to come back. I may be dead a million years before he comes back. It doesn't make any difference because Jesus said, I don't care. I can raise you from the dead. And I will. It's sleep. It's a waiting place. He said, Lazarus just sleeps. I go to awakening. Now I want you to just stop and take for a second. They're still under the Mosaic law, right? Lazarus died. He's in Abraham's bosom. Maybe he's laid back eating some grapes. Talking to Abraham and his ancestors. Jesus is going to come home and go, Lazarus, come forth. He's got to do it all over again. He's already been through it once. He's got to do it all over again now. They said, Lord, his body stinks. He's been dead 3 days. You've been around dead animals for the summer. You know what I'm talking about, right? They get that stench about. He stinks. Jesus said, roll stone back. Lazarus, get out of here. Here he comes, waddling out in his bedclothes, all wrapped up, mummified. Jesus did that because he had the power. He had the power. But one of the important things that I want you to understand here is that before Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he went to God in prayer. Did he have the power to do it without going to God? Yes, he did. The prayer was for a purpose also. Go down, if you would, back up just a second. Go to verse 25. Verse 35, chapter 11, verse 35. I want you to know, in class this morning, I was telling you that as a being 66 years old, I remember being raised in the church. I remember more emotion in the church than what we show today. We're kind of cold today, actually, to be honest with you. It doesn't seem like it affects us to know that God sent his only begotten son down here to die for us. We don't let that affect us very much. But here in verse 35, it says, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Can you imagine our Lord and Savior crying? That he had to let his friend, die. He had to perform this miracle. It had a purpose. And in order to do that, he had to let his friend die. And he wept. What's wrong with us, people? What's wrong with us that we don't understand that somebody died for us? Why doesn't that affect us emotionally? That Jesus loved you so much that he gave his life for you and died on Calvary's tree. Is it so hard for us to realize? Is it so hard for us to understand? He didn't have to. He went to God. He didn't want to. He went to God in prayer. Remember, he says, let this cup pass from me. He didn't want to die. But you know what? Bill Ferguson is a sinner. And the only way that God was going to let me into heaven was for Jesus to come down and die for me. That was it. That's the only way I was going to make it. How about you? Jesus loved us that much. They gave his life for us. All right. Jesus, in his prayer, he says, I thank you that thou hast heard me. Verse 41. I thank you that thou hast heard me. I want you to turn over to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. Go down to verse 12, if you would, of 1 Peter chapter 3. He says there, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those that do evil. God hears our prayers. Just the same way that Jesus said, I'm grateful that you hear me. God hears you also when we pray. That's important for us to understand. Now, I said this morning in class, God doesn't always answer our prayers like we want him to. God gives us what we need, not necessarily what we want. But he still hears us. He still hears the righteous. God wants to hear from you. You know, I love my grandchildren to death. And a lot of times I just look at them and know what they want. I don't give it to them just because I know what they want. I want to hear them ask for it. I like to hear please and thank you. I love them to death. And I spoil them rotten. I already said that. I still like to hear them ask for things. God wants to hear from you. God wants to hear you troubles. He wants to hear your joys. He wants to hear your needs. He wants to hear your wants. He wants to hear from you. You pray on a daily basis. Maybe multiple times during the day. I hope so. Weekly, monthly. Do we get so busy we forget about God? Don't tell me no, because I know it's happened. God says, I want to hear from you. I hear what you have to say. Jesus said, I'm grateful. I'm grateful that you always hear me. Are we grateful to God that he hears us? Do you know that you can go to God and talk to him about absolutely anything in the world that you want to talk to him about? And he'll listen to you. Each and every time you do it. I bet you don't have a friend in the world that'll sit there and let you do that every time you talk to him. He said, I'm grateful that you hear me. He goes on and he says, I know that thou hearest me always. We've been talking about faith with Travis. You have faith that God hears you every time you talk to him? Do you have faith in God enough that you can turn to him with anything? Your trouble, you know, it's easy to go to God when nothing's going right, isn't it? Well, in a minute. When you got troubles, when you got sorrows in your life, it's easy to go talk to God. But now when everything's going good and smooth, sailing down the road like it ought to be, sometimes we forget, don't we? That we need to thank God for that. That God has allowed us to have that easy trip. See, God wants to hear everything about us, and he always wants to hear from us. Turn over, if you would, to James chapter 1. Go down to verse 6. James chapter 1, beginning with verse 6. It says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. You got to have faith. You have to believe that God is capable of doing everything that you're talking to him. You have to believe. I always say, heaven's not a gimme, you got to want it. You ever want like a new car or a boat, new house? You want it, you work for it, don't you? Sometimes two jobs. You want it, you work for it. If you want heaven, you'll work for it. It's not a gimme. Just because you get baptized, no guarantee you're going to make it into heaven. My dad was out door knocking one time. The guy said, oh, I know you guys. He says, you're the only ones thinking going to heaven. Dad stood there for a minute and thought about it. He looked at him and said, no, sir, I don't think all of us are going to make it. There's a reason for that. If we're not doing God's will, we ain't going to make heaven. You got to want it. You got to work for it. You got to be driven. But it's all on you. See, God has given us everything that we need to get there. All we got to do is follow the directions. You know, I'm a It used to be a joke about guys putting things together, right? Just, well, what the instructions up, throw them over the side because we can do it without any instruction. And there's no telling how it come out looking. Let's go a step further. Guys driving. Give me directions. I can get there. How many times you been lost to it? There's a gas station. Let's pull over and ask. No, I got it. I got it. Hang on. We still got a quarter of a tank. On down the road we go. God says, you want to get to heaven, you got to follow my directions. I'm not letting you off. How much simpler can God make it than what he has? I guess if he just said, get baptized and I'll give you a home in heaven. Don't worry about nothing else. Go live your life however you want to. That's once saved, always saved, people. We don't follow that doctrine. A Christian can fall from grace. God says we got to work. Got to work for it if we want to go to heaven. It's not enough just to get dumped. It's not enough just to get wet. You got to come up out of that water ready to get to it and get after it. You know, that's one thing I love about baptizing people. They come up out of that water and they are on fire. They're ready to go out and save the world. 3 months later, they're starting to cool down a little bit. 6 months later, they may be skipping church a little bit. A year later, if they're still coming, they're just sitting back there on the pew warming it up. Because we let them get cold. We're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. We need to be going out changing the world. That's what Jesus said. Well, I don't want to make no enemies. You think that's what the apostles said? I'll pray to make somebody mad. You think that's what the apostles said? You think that's what Jesus said? God said, work, Bill, work. Do what I told you to do. Lord hears us when we pray. But we have to have the faith to believe that he's capable of doing everything that we ask. Now, I've already told you, God may answer your prayers with a no. But you have to have the faith that he can do it to start off with. I'm asking a lot of you. God's asking a lot of us. But think about it. What's the year? 2022, isn't it? Have you seen Jesus? Have you seen Jesus perform a miracle? Did you see Jesus heal the blind so that they could see? Did you see Jesus cast the demons out of the pigs, throw them into the sea? Did you see Jesus call Lazarus out of the tomb? No, you didn't see any of those things, did you? But I'm asking you to believe in Jesus. Listen, back then, even his own people didn't believe in him. Thank goodness. Bill, why'd you say that? Think about it for just a minute. If his own had received him, where would we be? His own rejected him. God said, go into the world and teach the gospel to everybody. Take it to the Jews, and when they reject it, go to the Gentiles. Jesus didn't come down to save the saved. What would have been the point in that? Jesus came to save somebody like me, a sinner. and give me an opportunity to go to heaven. Did he have power? Oh, you bet he had power. I believe it. I didn't see any of it, but I believe it. You know what? Here's the way I like to explain it. Do you know Abraham Lincoln? Come on. Do you know Abraham Lincoln? I see pictures of him, don't you? And wore a big black hat, had a beard, real tall, skinny guy. But I didn't know him. Now, I read about him all the time, don't you? If I pick up a history book, you just almost can't read history without reading about Abraham Lincoln and the Civil War. You just almost can't do it. I didn't know him. I didn't see him. But I believe that he existed. Don't you? I didn't know Jesus. I haven't met him, but I believe that he existed. Because this is just as accurate a history book as anything you could pick off the shelf and read. If you don't believe me, grab a book of Josephus and sit down and start comparing. Jesus walked this earth, did miracles, proved himself to be the Son of God, and we murdered him. No, we didn't hang him on the cross. We murdered him. That's what they say about people that kill people that are innocent. That's exactly what Jesus was. He was murdered. To give you an opportunity to go to heaven. Turn over, if you would, to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, go down to verse 2. John chapter 3, verse 2. He said, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou hast done except God be with him. Jesus performed miracles that prove that he was the Son of God. He healed the sick. He healed the blind. He healed the lame. He raised people from the dead. He cast demons out. He did all that to prove who he was, the Son of God. What would you say if you were a disciple of Jesus following him around and saw those things? What would you say? What would you believe? Would you believe he was a magician? Would you believe he was a trickster? Would you believe that he was the Son of God? Listen, there were people who actually saw these things that didn't believe. Can you believe that? Turn over to John chapter 20. Go down to verse 30. John chapter 20 and verse 30. You know, when people write history books, they tend to only include the good things about the people they write about. You ever notice that? I love history. I love to go back and read about different things that happened and people. But, you know, some of them just aren't pictured just quite the way they were in real life. Oh, it sounds like the whole world was in love with them many times. And nobody ever says anything negative. But now listen, in the Bible, in this book that we call the Bible, and if you're out there reading, I hope your Bible's reading the same as mine. Listen, John chapter 20, beginning with verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Jesus said, I came down for you, Bill, to give you an opportunity to go to heaven if that's what you want to do. See, God's not twisting my arm behind my back to make me go to heaven. God's not holding the gun to my head saying, you're going to do it or you're going to go to heaven. God said, it's your choice. If you want to go, I would love to have you. If you don't want to come here, I have another place prepared for you. It's your choice. All these people following Jesus that saw the miracles being performed had a choice. They could either accept Jesus for who he was, the Son of God, or reject him. We know how that went. But they had the choice. Now, I don't know, to be honest with you, if I stood there watching Jesus perform all these miracles, if I could be a doubter, wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't it be amazing to have been standing there and watching the stone roll away from the wall and Jesus going, Lazarus, come out of there. And Lazarus coming out in his bed clothes all wrapped up like a mummy, walking out there, been dead for 3 days, wrapped up, stuffed in a tomb. Could you doubt if you saw it with your own eyes? If you saw a man whose legs were just like bones, had never walked a day in his life because he had something wrong with him, and Jesus walked up and said, pick your bed up and get up and walk. And the man jump up and roll his bed up and take off. What would you think? Could you deny that this was Jesus? If he walked up to somebody and spit some mud, made some mud with his spit in the dirt, and he rubbed it on their eyes and told them to go wash their eyes in the fountain, and they came back and could see, would you doubt? And yet there were people back then that did. There were people back then that rejected Jesus after seeing all this. So I'm asking a lot of you. I'm asking you to believe without seeing. I'm asking you to believe just through reading the word. And yet, you believe in Abraham Lincoln. You believe in George Washington. Why can't you believe in Jesus? Jesus addressed God in prayer before performing the miracle to show the people his gratitude for God and the fact that God listened to him. Just the same as God hears us today. Well, I don't know what you'd say. What would you say if you went to a funeral? Anybody ever been to a funeral? Don't answer that. I know you don't. What would you say if you went to the funeral and caskets up here in front, right? This guy walks up here in front and he says, John Doe, get up and walk. And the guy walked up out of the casket and took off. What do you think? That's what Jesus did. He went to Lazarus' tomb. He had him roll the stone back. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came out of the tomb. If you're in chapter 11, go down to verse 45. John chapter 11, verse 45. Says, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. Well, yeah, that's a no-brainer, isn't it? I just saw a man raise somebody from the dead. Yeah, I believe. But now look at verse 46. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Some of them didn't believe. Some of them rejected Jesus. How could you do that? I told you about Satan earlier, right? In class, I told you that Satan's working on you every day. You know one thing about being a Christian, every day Satan's out there going, hey, Bill, nobody's going to know this, but what if we go do this? Nobody has to know. Every day, all during the day, Satan is, hey, Bill, how about if we do this? Hey, Bill, Satan constantly working on us, trying to get us to fall away from Jesus. Constantly. Because, you know, before you became a Christian, he wasn't worried about you. He already had you. You were already his. But once you became a Christian, he lost the soul out of hell. And that angers him. And he wants you back. Because he intends to fill hell up with just as many souls as he can get. And he wants you. Jesus said, believe in me. Believe in me. Do the things that I asked you to do. He says, and I will prepare a home for you in my Father's house. Do you want it? Do you want it? They had opportunities. They had choices. They saw the things that Jesus did. They heard the things that Jesus said. They had a choice. Believe him or reject him. You have the same choice today. Believe him or reject him. You know, sometimes I struggle. I ain't perfect. My wife may think I am, but I'm not. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. I stumble. I fall. Sometimes, as a Christian, I need help. I got friends I can call and say, hey, can I talk? And they listen. But you know, the greatest friend that I can talk to is God. Sometimes it's so insurmountable, I can't do it by myself. And at that point, that's when people say, you know what, we love you. We're not going to think it. You know the hardest thing to do when you come to church is to walk down this aisle? Oh, it's okay if you're not a Christian. Everybody's like, oh, we're going to get a new Christian. We're going to get a new Christian. Oh, it's so wonderful. But, you know, if you're a Christian, you come walking down that aisle up to the front, everybody's going, what do you think they did? I heard this. What's wrong with them? Shame on you. Shame on you that you might keep somebody from getting right with God. It's a wonderful thing when somebody accepts God, and it's a wonderful thing when somebody says, I need help. Can you pray with me? Isn't that wonderful? If you stop and think about it, isn't that great? That they love God enough that they still want to stay on track, that they still want to do what God wants them to do. Isn't that great? It should be. If we're struggling, if we have a problem, we should feel like I can go to my brothers and sisters and say, pray with me, make me strong, help me. That's what we do. That's part of what we do as Christians. This morning, Ron's going to come up and lead the invitation song. If you have a need, we encourage you to take care of that need while together we stand and sing the invitation song.